The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
And as the leader of my niche, I am addressing the President Biden. You are the leader of the niche, of your great nation. I wish you to be the leader of the world. Being the leader of the world means to be the leader of peace. Thank you. Slava Ukraini.
Glory to Ukraine.
Thank you for your support.
Volodymyr Zelensky, president of Ukraine, standing up for his country's rights. Jimmy Sangenberger in for Peter Boyles. And then George Brockler this morning, 6 to 9, hosting today and tomorrow a News Talk 710 KNUS. That was Zelensky speaking to the United States Congress yesterday, remotely via video. And he spoke in his native tongue, and there was a translator of his speech until they ran a powerful video that showed the chaos, destruction, the terror and horror of what's been happening to children and so many others. And then they came back to him, and he spoke in English for the next 2.5 minutes. Or so. And it really was a chance to bring it on home to the American people, as he's been speaking to various equivalents to our U.S. Congress in European countries, to Germany, to the U.K. He spoke to the European Union altogether, I think, last week. What can we learn from what he is doing as far as communication? Effective communication as far as crisis management and leadership? And how does that compare with what we are seeing here in the United States of America today, where, as listeners have been texting in on the 710 KNUS app, we are starving for leadership. We don't see it here at home. To talk about this, I'm very pleased to be joined by someone who is always offering exceptional insights on this exact realm of conversation. My friend Roshini Rajkumar out of Minneapolis, Minnesota. She's a licensed attorney, crisis strategist, and media analyst. She's a former TV reporter called upon by media across the U.S. for commentary about such topics as crisis management, political strategy, PR blunders, and more. She is the former host of Real Talk with Roshini Sundays. It ran for 9 years on WCCO Radio. Author of the book Communicate That in its third edition, and the purveyor of OwnYourWow.com, Roshini Rajkumar, joins me. Roshini, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. So good to be on with you, Jimmy.
Good to have you. Thanks for joining us. As I'm looking out, and it is snowing quite a bit here today with wet snow. That's what we get in the middle of March.
Exactly. Depending on where you are, we've had that. And then today we're going to be in the 50s in Minneapolis. So that's a nice thing for us in March on this St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah. Well, happy St. Patrick's Day to you as well. So I want to jump in. We heard a little bit of the tail end of Zelensky's address to the United States Congress yesterday. And earlier, Bill Thorpe and I were talking about his dress and how he was conveying sort of a seriousness and a gravitas that connoted military, because he's always in dressed in green, like sort of like military fatigues, but not exactly, because he's not in the military and he's not saying I'm a general, but he's at least connoting some of that. But there's so many different aspects to how he's been presenting himself, bringing that acting background, sort of top line. How do you assess how Zelensky's been presenting himself on the world stage and especially to his own people, Roshini?
You know, he does have the ability to command, whether it's the camera or the stage or the room, and so much of that does go to his performance background. He also is really good, at least from what I can tell, of assessing the sentiment. And he knows the sentiment is really for Ukraine. You know, here's this small country, and, you know, two of the world's biggest superpowers are engaged in conversation and sanctions and many narratives around his country. So he's really maximizing the narrative that's happening and calling upon us. You know, his address to both sides of the aisle yesterday, very poignant, referencing September 11th, referencing Pearl Harbor. Remember Pearl Harbor, he said. You know, so these images for the United States, for leadership, for our people, are very poignant in our history, and in some cases seem like they were just yesterday. So he's really figured out, whether he's doing it on his own or he's got a team that's helping him, he's really figured out how to galvanize all the messaging that matters to the people he is trying to persuade. And you know me, when we've talked over the years about audience analysis, he has audience analysis down to the T, showing these very dramatic and violent images, really, but dramatic images of what's happening to his country. And, you know, even in today's Wall Street Journal, one of the representatives from Florida was pictured with her hands over her mouth, just like gasping in horror. So these are powerful images that the American people are seeing, as he hopes, Zelensky hopes, the American people will continue to push its leaders to help his country. So, you know, he has really got the PR campaign down mm-hmm. well, whether he realizes it or not. I know he's doing it from an authentic place of sheer necessity, but it's quite powerful.
I think he does know what he's doing, especially coming from that acting background. Let's talk about his dress for a moment. I remember way back in August of 2014, the first time I ever interviewed you, we actually talked about politicians and how they dress with certain tie colors and other things along those lines. What do you make of the green clothing that he's usually wearing amidst this? Because to me, it's more than just, this is just what I'm going to wear in the middle of this crisis. There's some optics going on there.
Very much so. The optics of, as you said, he's not a general. He's a civilian, but he has to show he can't be all buttoned up and looking like he's, you know, right out of a Ralph Lauren ad. He has to look like, wow, there's devastation in my country. So he's dressing the role of a leader living in that chaos in the Ukraine. So, you know, really powerful. The cover of today's Wall Street Journal, we actually get the print edition, and the headline, "I call on you to do more," his quote above a picture of him on screen in that T-shirt, kind of that, you know, hunter green T-shirt, very clear that he is in dressed down kind of clothing, but not, you know, just like a T-shirt that says your favorite slogan on it. It's very clear those are some military fatigues, or at least look that way. So I think he also has that down. I think the wardrobe, I know the wardrobe of anyone is always a powerful tool for messaging. There are subtextual messages in everything we do, say, and wear. And he wants the world to know every time we see images of him, whether that's video or pictures, that he is not behind closed doors in meetings. He's very much on the ground with his people. He's very much in the situation that he can't be buttoned up. He's got to be ready at any moment, right, possibly to flee. You know, his life has been challenged also, and his family is threatened during these 3 weeks of what's happening there.
Rashini Rajkumar, crisis strategist and media analyst, our guest. When I watched his speech, I was struck by the structure of it. He begins with his language, where he's speaking in his own tongue and he has a translator. And that was for a lot of the parts of where he mentioned comparisons to 9/11 and Pearl Harbor. And imagine if that was happening every day in your country. Or where he mentioned, "I have a dream." You remember, "I have a dream." Well, "I have a need." And then he goes on mm-hmm. and he's making that pitch really for a no-fly zone, which, unfortunately, realistically, isn't something that's in the cards, but he needs to make that pitch regardless. So he does that in his tongue, has the translator. Then you go to that powerful and emotive video. And then for his final 2.5 minutes, he breaks out into the English language to close his speech right after that emotive video. And I just thought that was brilliant.
Yeah, Jimmy, it really was a 10 when it comes to public speaking. When I'm prepping leaders for high-stakes communications, we're always talking about a beginning, middle, and an end. How do you want to launch, and you need, do need to launch powerfully? How do you keep everyone's attention in the middle? And then how do you end with a real call to action or powerful message? The very fact that he can use both his own mother tongue as well as English, but every part of this 15-minute speech does appeal to his audience, and he knows the audience is not only those members of Congress in that auditorium, but he knows people like you and I are going to be talking about it the next day. So all of the American people, as well as the world audience, regular people, that we are all of his audience. But he really choreographed this in such a superb way, and he called upon, you know, references to MLK Jr., references to Pearl Harbor, 9/11. He picked some of the most poignant and vivid and in some cases tragic moments in U.S. history to help us understand, because that's the point, you know, in Africa, in Asia, in Europe, this kind of violence is going on all the time. And this isn't happening day to day on American soil. So he had to really give it to us as vividly. And that's why he brought in that video. And, you know, he also led up to that video. That video was kind of a bit of a climax in the speech as he choreographed it, right, and then ending in English. I mean, I don't think I could have even scripted a better choreography for him. He laid that out really, really well. Now the question is, can he get what he wants? You know, the ways he wants to influence and the things he needs and wants from President Biden and from the U.S. Like you say, it's a mixed bag. Some things are on his way. Jet fighters are not likely to go there. The no-fly zone is likely not to happen for the U.S. And, you know, we also have to think about all of our different audiences. And that's a whole other set of topics we can get into over the next couple of weeks, Jimmy, on what U.S. leaders need to be thinking about as we continue to engage and help the Ukraine.
Sure. Speaking of U.S. leaders and our guest, Rashini Rajkumar, this is a good segue. Listener text coming in. He's just a citizen of his country in leadership. Very authentic. Does Biden look authentic? Here's a little excerpt of our president of the United States yesterday giving his own remarks after Zelensky's address to our U.S. Congress. Following that.
That's our goal. Make Putin pay the price. Weaken his position while strengthening the hand of the Ukrainians on the battlefield and at the negotiating table. Together with our allies and partners, we're going to stay the course, and we'll do everything we can to push for and end this tragic, unnecessary war. This is a struggle that pits the appetites of an autocrat against humankind's desire to be free. And let there be no doubt, no uncertainty, no question, America stands with the forces of freedom. We always have, and we always will.
What do you make of that and how Biden has projected himself over the last several weeks, Rashini Rajkumar?
Well, that particular clip sounds very scripted, and it's kind of the pat language. I wanted to hear a little more authenticity, a little more emotion from President Biden. And again, he doesn't need to be crying. That's not what we're getting at here, but the authentic human reaction. And that's what's really been lacking for me in a lot of President Biden's addresses, whether it was back on the campaign trail to ever since he took office. And so it's kind of a bummer. You and I have talked about this. There are times that I give President Biden more in the 8 out of 10, but we should really have a president and other leaders among us who are constantly, you know, getting those kind of 8, 9s, and 10s, and we're not picking apart what it could have been, what it should have been. So I want to hear more authenticity from President Biden and also transparency. If he can't help, he needs to tell the world, tell Americans, tell President Zelensky why he can't help, but he can't always be talking in platitudes. He really has to get down to specifics.
Yeah, that's the thing that I think has been lacking from Biden. But I also recognize that it's been hard for the American people throughout the past couple of years to really see a leader that projects strength, resolve, and a sense of unity or a unifying force, where all too often there's a sense among Americans, it seems, at least to me, that our elected leaders are in it for their own self-protection right now, and they're not focused on what's in the best interest of the United States or our allies. And that comes from how Biden fails to project strength and leadership, but comes from other leaders across the country on both sides of the aisle as well.
That is very true. And that is something that is really an epidemic among our leadership right now. I'll point specifically to members of Congress and members of, you know, the Senate. It is really, really hard to watch this lack of passion and this real focus on self-interest. Now, that being said, in our Minnesota legislature here, as well as across the country on the federal level, we are seeing a lot of legislators deciding they're not running for reelection. I think that is one of the best effects that could be happening. We need a freshening of all of these bodies. And whether it's just overall leadership fatigue, look, they've been challenged by a lot of topics that people that came out of civilian life to lead the rest of us, you know, didn't necessarily expect 3-4 years ago. But what I would like to see is this new crop of leaders. I'd really love to see some of the old guard in the United States Senate and Congress retire, leave, and get literally the H out of there so that new, fresh leadership can come in. And that's what each party in every state, the Republicans and Democrats in each state, and in some cases the independent parties, need to be recruiting good candidates, strong candidates, people who are authentic, people we can believe and get behind. That's what I would love to see, Jimmy, and that could be a positive effect of some of the chaos that's going on around us in both the United States and in the world.
I think that's a great point, Rashini Rajkumar, again, our guest. A few minutes left with you, Rashini, and I think one of the facts that underscores the need for at least some sort of reassurance from leaders across America, and especially the president of the United States, who seems out of touch when it comes to gas prices, is the struggle of Americans. You're feeling it. I'm feeling it. We're all feeling it as the cost of everything rises with Bidenflation. And here's a taste from the Black News Channel, a little bit of a story of how Americans are indeed feeling the pressure with gas prices skyrocketing and more.
Americans are feeling the pressure on their wallets as gas prices skyrocket. And inflation reaches a 40-year high.
How are the gas prices so high? We can't even feed our family. I can't even feed my kids gas so high.
According to AAA, the national average for a gallon of gas hit $4.33 on Friday before falling a penny on Monday.
There's tone deafness when you're getting an administration that can't even answer questions about whether or not they are trying to promote or restrict drilling. They don't have any sort of agenda that is clear in any way, shape, or form on the policy objectives and what they're attempting to do vis-a-vis this skyrocketing cost of fuel. In fact, here's Jen Psaki, the White House press secretary, in that regard.
You know, given that the price of gas has gone up by 75 cents, a dollar, even more in some areas, we're continuing to look at a range of options. And obviously, ensuring that there is, or taking steps to ensure there's more supply in the market, because the oil market is a global market, is a big priority and a focus for us. But we're looking at a range of domestic options, including all of the ones you mentioned. Just no decision has been made at this point.
Who could take any confidence from that, Rashini?
Right. And I want to just bring up a lesson that I got from law school when one of my law professors shared with our class, if you ever hear someone saying obviously or clearly in any kind of argument, it's not clear, it's not obvious. That's just a filler word they're using because they don't have answers. And we heard a lot of ums and ahs and obviously in her remark just there. So I want people to really be discerning in how they listen to the messages that all of our leaders and their spokespeople are throwing at us. I mean, here's the hard thing. When you read numbers into the billions that the United States is helping Ukraine, and I'm not saying we shouldn't help, and then you've got clips like what you just played of people not being able to feed their families because they have to pay for gas and choose between gas and medicine and food, that really is tone deaf. And I think our leaders need to be looking at that and the real families that are affected in the United States as they're setting various policy, whether it's international policy, bank rates, and all the other things that our national leaders do.
Yeah, and what you have is a real condescending attitude that you constantly get from Jen Psaki as well when she says, well, let me explain how diplomacy works. Let me explain this. Let me explain that. And I'm just like, what the heck?
Right.
You're the White House press secretary. You're not the all-knowing God of information who could talk down to everybody else. And yet that is the attitude, not just from Jen Psaki, but from so many folks in this administration that, I mean, there are instances where I see that from Biden himself, where he's looking down on the American people or discounting certain struggles and what have you, looking down, certainly being condescending towards his opponents. And that just adds to the leadership crisis that we're talking about.
Right, Jimmy. They certainly all could use some message coaching. Messaging coaching. That's really what they need.
They could take
they are not winning it.
Take a page from Zelensky's playbook.
They really could.
I mean, really.
For sure.
On that note, Rashini Rajkumar, check out our website, ownyourwow.com. Thank you so much for joining us, as always, my friend. Appreciate your insights.
Thanks, Jimmy. Have a great day.
You as well, and happy St. Patrick's Day. Once again, Rashini Rajkumar joining us. Jimmy Sangenberger in for Peter Boyles. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be back with much more on the other side. News Talk 710 KNUS. For Peter Boyles here on News Talk 710 KNUS. Thanks for joining us, being a part of the program. 303-696-1971, our telephone number. If you'd like to join in to the festivities, you know, as we see the economic malaise coming all across the country, the American people are suffering, and the mainstream media is constantly, always, now, highlighting exactly that.
Before you pull out that credit card today, beware. If you don't pay it off in full, your interest rate is probably about to jump. The Federal Reserve, the nation's central bank, is expected to raise rates by a quarter point today as it tries to throw cold water on runaway inflation.
Every time you go and shop, a price of something has gone up by so much. It's insane.
Every American shopper has seen it firsthand. Clothing up 6.5%, food up 8.5%, electricity up 9%, used cars up 41%, and gasoline up nearly $1.50 from a year ago.
Milk, flour, sugar, cartons of oil, like frying oil, that's been insane. That's like tripled in price. So that's been crazy.
The highest inflation in 40 years.
Wow. You're constantly hearing that now. There is no way that they can dodge it. They can't hide it. They're talking about it. And of course, the Biden team is always cowering from providing any sort of solutions, any even admission. We talked about this on Monday when I was here in this chair. Any admission that their policies actually exacerbate what's going on. Made it so that we were in no way prepared for what was to come to weather this storm. If Biden's administration was out of the way, we would have been able to weather this storm far better than we are at this very moment. Then you have to look to the likes of Joe Manchin, who's saying we need to ramp up oil production to at least speak some semblance of common sense from the Democratic Party.
I am not absolutely signed on any way, shape, or form for us to start buying, basically, or taking sanctions off of Venezuela or Iran. I think it'd be a horrible mistake for us to do that. Next of all, if you're worried about the global climate, anything and everything the United States does to replace and help our European allies, NATO allies, we do it better and cleaner than anybody else. And I can tell you, much, much better than Russia does it, much better than what Venezuela or what Iran does it. So why wouldn't we use ours? Why don't we ramp up and use the energy that we have? And we have the ability.
We do have the ability. And yet the feckless Biden administration refuses to even propose options. I played the clip in the last segment. Let's hear it again. This is Jen Psaki. Saying, look, we're continuing to find the solution. We are looking continuing to look at a range of options.
You know, given that the price of gas has gone up by 75 cents, a dollar, even more in some areas, we're continuing to look at a range of options. And obviously, ensuring that there is, or taking steps to ensure there's more supply in the market, because the oil market is a global market, is a big priority and a focus for us. But we're looking at a range of domestic options, including all of the ones you mentioned. Just no decision has been made at this point.
No decision has been made. What do you know? Are we surprised? Probably not. Meanwhile, the Russians continue their advance in Ukraine, or at least continue their onslaught. The Ukrainian people have been fighting back, able to prevent Kyiv from being captured in the siege of Russia on Ukraine. And we were told early on about the sanctions that they were planning. Oh, the threat of these sanctions, that's going to make an impact. Don't discount that. This was just in January and February. Here's a montage. Kamala Harris, the vice president, Secretary of State Antony Blinken, and Jen Psaki all touting the efficacy of their threats of sanctions.
Is that for all intents and purposes acknowledging that this threat of severe sanctions that the administration has made is having no effect on Putin, that he's actually not deterred by it?
Well, I'm not going to psychoanalyze President Putin of Russia, but I will tell you this. It is clear to us that the decision is probably in his hands.
Right, and Ukraine is saying you could go harder. You could be stronger.
We provided very significant military assistance to Ukraine. We've been taking action against Russian agents in Ukraine. But as to the sanctions, the most important thing we can do is to use them as a deterrent, as a means of dissuading Russia from engaging in further aggression. Once sanctions are triggered, you lose the deterrent effect.
We made the assessment, others can have different assessments, that this would be the way to achieve the outcome that we've now achieved. Others can have different assessments. There's no proof or evidence that their approach would have worked. Ours has worked.
That was January and February. This was, I think, yesterday?
I would say that when we put in place the threat of sanctions and the threat of consequences, we never thought that that would be fail-proof. Or that would be 100% effective.
I don't know about you, but it sounded like they were instilling confidence then that, oh, we're doing this deterrent and it's having the effect. But meanwhile, they were also talking about, oh, the invasion may happen. So they were indeed talking out of both sides of their mouth, so to speak. But Psaki now saying that no one thought sanctions on Russia would be 100% effective. I'm sure that's true, but that wasn't what they were representing at the time, especially in January. You just heard the montage. That demonstrates how inept the administration is at a time when we need seriousness, we need consistency, we need a message that gives confidence to the American people, and we are not getting that from Biden, from Psaki, from the rest of the crew. In fact, most of the leadership that we have seen up to this point has been from Europe taking the lead early on, and then Biden was following. Remember Obama leading from behind? Literally. That is what we are seeing from Obama's vice president, now POTUS, Joe Biden. And as I look at the skyrocketing cost of fuel, we hear every day about that inflation blues going on. It makes you think, why don't we have an administration that actually is speaking honestly and openly? And maybe it's because they can't speak that way. They're not able to because they boxed themselves in this corner. I don't know. Do you think the Biden administration has put themselves into a position where now they're in a corner and they can't really be open and honest with the American people about what's happening, because they're so far gone and they want you to continue to believe the narrative that they have put out there on gas. I mean, even when we hear Biden talk about, oh, well, oil and gas. I'm not holding back production. The way to reduce gas prices isn't through more production. It is through green energy, transforming our economy. Is that why they are not straight ever with the American people? Or is there another reason? Because I think it's, they have no choice. They're in that position and there's nothing they could do, nowhere they can go. And then when you have a guy like Biden at the helm, confused when introducing his own energy secretary,
former Governor Jennifer Granholm, the Energy Department. I often kid her, and I wasn't kidding early on when I was seeking the nomination. Had she been born in America, she'd be standing here and I'd be sitting there. She was a former governor of the state of Michigan, wrong. She was a former state. She was a governor.
He was right. She's former governor of Michigan. Also, she's Canadian American, so she couldn't be president. But at the end there, what was it with the slip up? And we get that constantly. I heard Hugh Hewitt earlier talking about how Biden isn't putting it together. He's not really the president in so many ways. You got on the international stage, Antony Blinken, really the president there, and Ron Klein, the chief of staff, running the show domestically. And that makes sense, especially because cackling Kamala Harris is woefully unable herself to command anything in that office of vice president. This goes back to our discussion with Rashini Rajkumar. With Rashini, where she was pointing out about that, just even that presentation of leadership being lacking. And sometimes that's the least you need to show, whether you're actually on the ball or not. At least you can project it. And we don't get that projection, that authenticity, that sincerity from Joe Biden. And it's because he can barely get the words off the teleprompter. I hate to say it, because we're in a crisis and we need to trust and rely upon our leaders on the world stage, especially in such a tense, serious crisis that has ripple effects throughout our economy. But we can't right now. And that, most assuredly, is deeply concerning for everybody. I'm Jimmy Sangenberger, in for Peter Boyles and George Brockler today. When we come back, Russell Brand, the actor, I mean, he has some very powerful words for Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau on his podcast that I think will get you thinking just a little bit. Keep it right here. Jimmy Sangenberger in for Peter Boyles. News Talk 710 KNUS. I should learn this on harmonica. Jimmy Sangenberger in for Peter Boyles this morning, News Talk 710 KNUS, as well as George Brockler. It is that time of the morning where we check in with our friends at Alpine Planning Group, and we've got Amy Duncan with us today. Good morning, Amy. Are you staying warm?
Morning, Jimmy. Yeah, it's a wet one out there. It's a wet one. Well said. And yes, I'm nice and warm, at least until about noon when you step outside again. So. All righty, friend. Nice to talk to you once again.
Yeah,
doing a great
absolutely.
Job. Take a look at the numbers here for our listeners. We've got the Dow off about 40. S&P down very slightly, down about 6. NASDAQ just off by a hair as well, down about 30. Wednesday showed real nice gains on Wall Street, 1 to 3% increases for all the U.S. indices, depending on which one you were watching closer. Big news yesterday, of course, was the Federal Reserve and the first rate hike in many years. And I think, you know, one reason markets responded positively is they got what they were expecting, and that was a quarter point hike. But the other wild card here is the Fed signaled 6 more rate hikes throughout 2022. So, you know, a lot of people are asking, what does an interest rate increase mean? I think on the surface, obviously, you get a higher rate of return, more interest on things like CDs or savings accounts. The drawback, of course, is it pushes up rates for credit cards, for home equity loans, for adjustable rate mortgages, et cetera. So I think we're going to see this seesaw market persist. Obviously, the Ukraine-Russia crisis takes the front seat. But in terms of the Fed, they did speak yesterday, and that's why we saw markets do what they did. So if you have some questions, by all means, give us a call. We'll be standing by on this cold, wintry day.
Absolutely.
Cold spring day,
I know.
Spring day.
It is wintry, but it is also a spring day. So I think you were right on there, Amy. Our friends at Alpine Planning Group, well, they're a comprehensive financial planning firm committed to improving your long-term financial success. Investing is a matter of trust, and they are prepared to earn yours. Call them today at 303-843-0918. Again, that's 303-843-0918. Amy, I will be back in the saddle tomorrow morning. I'll be looking forward to checking in with you guys again then.
You got it, my friend.
Securities and investment advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC and registered investment advisor. Alpine Planning Group and Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. are not affiliated entities. 14 West Dry Creek Circle, Littleton, Colorado, 80120.
Good to be with you again. Jimmy Sengenberger in for Peter Boyles here on News Talk 710 KNUS. Of course, on Monday, I announced on the program when I was filling in for Peter that I had the night before scheduled Tina Peters to join us. Of course, candidate for Colorado Secretary of State and battled Mesa County Clerk and Recorder to come on at 8 o'clock this morning. Well, about a half an hour ago, I was just informed by Tina Peters' legal team that she will not be making an appearance this morning. So there you go. 303-696-1971 is our telephone number to join in to the festivities. You can also text into the show on the 710 KNUS app on your smartphone. We did just get, and I have to be honest that I definitely didn't choose the music here, but OMG, I haven't heard that song, Lowrider, since college. I used to love listening to it. Now I've got to go dig through my vinyl again. You're always making me do that. Stay warm. You stay warm as well. And yes, indeed, on Saturday mornings from 6 to 9 on the Jimmy Sengenberger Show, we love to have a little fun with our music right there on the Jimmy Sengenberger Show. I tease this. Russell Brand destroyed Justin Trudeau, and he made a very powerful point as we look at some of the attacks on democracy going on right now over Russia attacking Ukraine, and particularly the Democratic critique.
What I'm saying is that if the reason that this war is wrong, or one of the reasons, is because it is against democratic principles, then you must ensure that where it is possible, where there is no militarized state opposing your ability to be democratic, you should be democratic. Otherwise, you do not have the same argument. You can criticize Russia for many, many reasons. You can condemn the actions of Russia, quite rightly, for many reasons. What you can't do is claim to be an exemplar of democracy if whenever you get the opportunity to be tyrannical, you take it. Let's see what Justin Trudeau had to say about Chinese state authoritarianism in 2014.
He was asked which country he most admired and referred to China.
There's a level of admiration I actually have for China.
Even then, before Justin Trudeau became a sort of figure of loathing as a result of the trucker actions, and I'm sure for other things that I've not been following, he literally, while he's still in his boy band phase, is openly declaring affection for Chinese state authoritarianism.
Because their basic dictatorship is allowing them to actually turn their economy around on a dime and say, we need to go green as fast as we need to start, you know, investing in solar.
If only we had a dictatorship. Don't worry, Justin. Future you has got that covered.
Boom! From somebody in Hollywood, Russell Brand always has some really interesting takes. He's got a podcast of his own, and I've seen some conversations with him that are just absolutely fascinating, to be sure. And when you look at Hollywood, you don't have very many people who are in Hollywood or who are in major films as he has been that are speaking common sense and truth and fact and more. And let's be very clear that Justin Trudeau has no standing to talk about democracy on the world stage or here in America or most certainly at home, especially given what we have seen from the Canadians and their government and how that's progressed over time in just the last several months, most especially, but even looking back at the last couple of years, remember the was going on at churches and synagogues in Canada, parts of the United States too, but Canada in particular. He's one to talk. I'm Jimmy Sangenberger. 303-696-1971 is our telephone number. If you want to join into the festivities, I'm up here one more hour for the Peter Boyle Show and then continuing on in for George Brockler. As, oh gosh, I'm jealous of Peter with his sunny vacation right now. Keep it right here. News Talk 710 KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.